This morning, our sermon will come from two brief passages of scripture, two verses from the book of Colossians and one verse from the book of Romans. So Colossians, the first chapter, verse 21 and 22, Romans chapter 7, verse 6. And you'll see how the two scriptures coincide with each other. Our first scripture, Colossians 1, 21 to 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Romans 7, 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I want to share this morning from the subject, the God we serve. The God we serve. And if you want to make it personal, we can talk about the God I serve. There are many reasons why I serve the true and living God. There are many reasons why I love the Lord. I love him for his faithfulness to us. I love him for the comfort he provides. I love him for his blessed assurance. I love him for his grace and mercy. I love him for all he has done. But of all the many reasons why I love the Lord, here's the one I cherish the most. The old saints would simply say, he's an on-time God. But I love the Lord because the God I serve, he is a right now God. When I need him, he is right there. Not later, but right now. Right now, he's keeping you and I from falling. Right now, he is protecting us from our enemies. Right now, he is giving healing to the masses. Right now, he is interceding on our behalf. He is a now God. He does not procrastinate or postpone. He does not dawdle. He does not dwindle or drag his feet. He does not defer nor delay for another day. His power is in his now. The power to right now turn an upside down world right side up. In this upside down world, the God we serve is a right now God who has prepared us for our present trials and all of our trials to come. So what is the God we serve doing for us right now? First thing text reminds us is that our God is reconciling us. God's now response came more than 2,000 years ago when he offered his son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation and recompense for our sin nature. Christ was offered as an appeasement to appease the law of sin and its penalty, that we might be excused from punishment. Where once the burnt lamb was offered on the mercy seat of God as reconciliation for the sins of mankind, now Christ has offered as the final payment for all sin. The hymnologist said it this way: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. But it's in verse 2 of that hymn that the hymnologist is saying Christ paid the price. He says, though Satan should buffet through, trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. my brothers and sisters, reconciliation. We throw that word around like candy. It ought to be to our hearts what sugar is to a child's mouth, a sweet savor. Reconciliation's bouquet should be treasured, cherished, and relished as God's right now response to the oldest known pandemic on earth, which is sin. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae of this hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and spells out so eloquently the need for our reconciliation. Paul says, we were alienated enemies of God, separated from him by our wicked works, but our right now God crucified his own flesh to reconcile or reunite us to him. The pandemic of sin separated us. We were socially distanced from our Creator until the Lord offered a permanent cure for our death sentence. Our Father resolved to settle this separation once and for all with his own blood. And now we are conjoined by our Creator. Now we are in the body of his flesh through death. Now we are present with the Lord through his Spirit. Now we are standing before him as children of the Most High God. Now we are called the family of God. We are reconciled, but then right now we are also cleansed. Paul says we are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. We know what that means. That means that we are consecrated, blameless, and we cannot be reprimanded for our sin. We are washed clean and off the hook, so to speak. But what do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see someone who is washed clean, or do you see someone who is all washed up? The mirror can fool anyone, even you and me. We can clean ourselves off. We can dress ourselves up. But you and I can't get rid of the stain of sin, no matter how many showers we take. That kind of cleansing power can only come from the Lord. He alone can make us holy and pure. We desire to be perfect, and we strive for it, especially on the outside, the part everyone can see. But this battle for protection rages on in all of us, even after our spiritual cleansing. God's cleansing doesn't mean we won't sin. It just means we won't be held responsible for our sin. We are holy, blameless, and free from criticism. The penalty for all of our slip-ups has been paid. Now, hear me, that is not a license for us to run out and commit sin now, just because you know you are or will be forgiven. Paul warns us that it is our duty to strive to bring our bodies into subjection to the will of God. In spite of what's going on around us, you and I must never forget that we are Christ's ambassadors. In other words, we represent Christ no matter where we are. We represent Christ in the grocery store. We represent Christ at the bank. We represent Christ in our schools. We recognize Christ on our jobs. We recognize Christ. We represent Christ when we are with our family and friends. We represent Christ even on social media. And if we are going to fulfill our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must see each day as a challenge to strive for perfection. Remember when your mother used to say, "Y'all cleaned up now. Now stay out of the mud." But God says, "You've been forgiven. Go and sin no more." We are reconciled and we are cleansed by the God we serve, who is a right now God. But finally, he has prepared you and I to serve. Paul writes to the church at Rome, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Ask yourself, what good is getting all cleaned up if you can't show off the new you? This miraculous cleansing has a purpose. It's meant to be the inspiration others need to follow Christ. They see us coping with calamity. They see us dealing with this dilemma. They see us striving towards sainthood. They see us determined to be devout. They see us vying to be virtuous. They see us reaching to be respectable. And they want to be like us because we are mirrors of Christ. We are God's hands and we are God's feet to carry out the work of the kingdom. There is no greater work than to be a witness for Christ. Let me say that again. There is no greater work than to be a witness for Christ. We owe him that much. Paul says it is what's expected of us as the redeemed of God. He calls it our reasonable service. Why? Because you and I, once we were lost, but now we are found. We once were blind, but now we see. Once we received no mercy, but now we have received God's mercy. Once we lived in darkness, but now we are the children of the light. Once we were doomed, but now we are saved from God's wrath. Once we were dead in our sins, but now we are justified by his blood. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. My brothers and sisters, the world is upside down, but we are not of this world. We who worship Christ are right side up. Our Savior turned the world upside down one day on Calvary. While God turned day into night, Jesus turned sinners into saints. And now we who have been turned right side up serve in the newness of Christ's spirit. The world may be broken, but we are blessed. The world may be defiled, but we are delivered. The world may be grieved, but we never sorrow as those who have no hope. We are reconciled, we are cleansed, and we are ready to serve in good times and bad times, in plenty and in want. For any man can display virtue in the sunshine, but the challenge comes in the rain. We must be ready to serve no matter what state we are in, whether we are abased or we abound, whether in fullness or in hunger. We are a prepared people serving our right now God. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us right now. May God continue to bless the hearers of his word. God bless you.